Hello, friends, and welcome into Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. You're about to hear a clip from the Sports Cubicle on WCPT 820 AM, Chicago, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday nights with myself, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, and Dan Marver. If you would like to check out the entire show, check us out over on SoundCloud at WCPT and wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. And of course, if you would like to see the video version of the show, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media, Instagram, Mike Mercado Media, and you can be interactive with the show on Twitter at Couch Sports Talk. Like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. And please hit the little bell, subscribe button on youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network if you would like to see the video version of the podcast. If you would like to support us, visit us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. There you can become a producer. You get our weekly NFL confidence picks there at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. We have a bunch of awesome tiers if you would like to support us in that way. We're also on Teespring, teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves. If you would like some swag, check us out at teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves just in time for the holiday season. Now enjoy this segment from the latest edition of the Sports Cubicle on WCPT 820 AM Chicago, where facts matter, Sunday nights, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Enjoy. But I think what we're looking at now is, if Matt Nagy is gone, the first question is, do you want Ryan Pace making this next pick? Do you want Ryan Pace, the person that's going to be in charge of picking the coach that's going to develop Justin Fields? Or do you go complete new slate, get new GM, and new coach? And if that's the case, what are you looking for? So in my opinion, I think if it were me, you go completely clean. And I'm looking at for a head coach. I'm not looking for a specialty offensive genius or a defensive-minded guy. I'm actually looking for somebody like a special teams coach. I'm looking for somebody that has their hands in everything but isn't involved in everything, if you get the nuance. I want somebody that knows how to coach football players, who knows how to evaluate them from special team to starting linebacker because of attrition in the NFL. So I don't know about you guys. I guess, Marver, we'll start off with you because, you know, of all the scouting you've seen, what are you looking for? Would you start off basically with a new GM? And then what are you looking for if it's true that the Bears are looking for a new head coach?
Yeah, I don't know, you know, what GM, you know, I don't have a name, but I will say this, that they, you know, if they get a new coach, new GM, that would be a good thing, just for a change of pace, no pun intended. However, keep this in mind, every coach is hired to be fired, and they know that. And even Nagy said that in the press conference. I mean, other than Mike Tomlin, there's, you know, I can't think of too many people lately that have been around a long time. Obviously, you know, Andy Reid from team to team, but, you know, or Harbaugh. But still, you look at it and you say, okay, when you have a bad record, you're generally going to be in the hot seat and you're generally going to be fired. And the GM, I mean, can go too. So tell me who the GM and the coach is going to be with this exact team that's going to make the playoffs. Is the secret sauce Fields? You know, it's, Mahomes didn't even play his first year, and Nagy was sitting there to watch that. So, I mean, maybe that's what he's remembering. So I don't have a name. I mean, if you guys have a name for a GM, for a coach, that's great. But I don't. I mean, with this talent, I don't see them being a playoff team, you know, no matter who the coach is. That's my opinion.
I'll tell you this much, and this is something that I think Bears fans are saying, but they're saying it in different ways that don't kind of carry weight sometimes. It just sounds like a fanatic saying it. But it goes up to ownership. And I don't say the Bears need new owners, because we know that's not going to happen. They need a president of football operations. They need somebody to help George and Ted that knows football. They need to stop hiring consultants and these law firms to make decisions on who's going to be the GM. And the way they do this makes no sense. You need somebody who knows football, who knows how to delegate all these different responsibilities and build up your franchise the proper way. You know what? It'd be wonderful if Justin Fields was the quarterback of the future. But if the rest of your organization is not good, what are you then? You're just a six-game, eight-game winning team, like the middle of the rest of the NFL. And I think for, I don't know about you guys, and Marver, I really want to know your opinion on this, because it's something the Bears just don't have. How much do you think that changes this whole organization if they have a football person in charge?
A football person in charge is a good idea. I agree with that. If you just look at the overall structure of the NFC, for example, obviously the team that's the, you know, the model for the Bears in terms of trying to succeed would be like the Packers, let's say, or, you know, or team, I mean, the Cardinals, all, what did they do right? I mean, all of a sudden they're a great team. So, I mean, what is the model to be successful? Rodgers is obviously the leader of the Packers, but in terms of the Cardinals, what are they? Maybe we need to look at a team like the Cardinals and see what they're doing right, because they're like got the best record in the conference now, don't they? So I mean, maybe we can look at a model of what's successful and try to do the same thing. As you know, that's what I always think of in business: try to steal somebody else's model and do that yourself.
And Devin, does that scare you, though? Because the idea of keeping with the trend in the NFL is what the NFL does, is that you try to find the Sean McVays, and you try to find the Cliff Kingsbury's and the Matt LaFleur's, and you just try to find the next innovators. But if you're the Bears, isn't more than just developing one specific player, but also changing the entire culture of your organization? Like, when you look at what the Bears did this past week, during this whole week leading into the Thanksgiving game, this is something that you think of an organization like Jacksonville. No hate to our Jacksonville friends that are listening to us, but you're not thinking about one of the charter franchises of the NFL, one of the pillars, and they're going through this nonsense again. Now, we mentioned the Bears don't fire coaches during the season, but they fire a lot of coaches because they can't stay stable. And I think you mentioned it, Marver, what are some of the differences of these organizations? And I think it's an ownership that knows how and when to get in the way and when to invest and when to step in. And why does it always take Virginia being upset after you've lost six straight games? Like, that can't be the way this happens consistently, is that you were an embarrassment on national television two different times.
And they have Minnesota yet, unless they – I don't think they can flex on Monday night, but they're scheduled for the Packers on Sunday, which hasn't been flexed yet on the 12th, and they have Monday night against Minnesota yet. So we'll see what happens there, because they can flex Sunday night. I mean, like I was saying, I mean, you look at – obviously, the Packers are in a 9-3, the Buccaneers are 8-3. I'm looking at – and the Cardinals are 9-2, like I say. They have the best record. So, for example – What is the secret sauce for a team like the Cardinals? I mean, all of a sudden they're 9-2, and I wouldn't have expected that. So why can't we do whatever they did and be 9-2? I mean, what is the secret sauce for the Cardinals? Their personnel, to me, it doesn't jump out at me as being, you know, thousandfold better than the Bears. So again, I would try to do what looks successful elsewhere.
I mean, definitely look around, like copy and paste. It definitely, these things work. And just that's like been the biggest problem with the Bears for years. They always try to be like, oh, we're the smartest people in the room. We're going to do what no one else does. And it's like, that might work once, maybe twice. But that's why Matt Nagy got the Bears the first year. They made it to the playoffs. They tried something different. But guess what? You got to figure the hell out the very next season. And it showed. You get exposed here. I'm with Marver. We definitely need to copy and paste. Why are other teams winning, you know? No. Bill Belichick, everyone's like, oh, he was recording hand steals. He was an effing genius, because no one thought of that until then. Now they put the friggin' paper over their mouth and talk like this, and you can't read their lips. Try something. But the thing is, like, right now, it's, what is it, Thomas Edison? Like, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Exactly. And that is what I see from this team. We have really not tried anything too different. Mm-hmm. And when we do, and it works, we're going to keep sticking to it. And then what? And I will say it before and I say it again. Matt Nagy did not make Patrick Mahomes. He saw him sit on the, Marvin said, he saw him sit on the bench. And what does he think? Just, oh, we let Justin sit. He'll get hungry and he'll learn from Andy Dalton. Patrick Mahomes learned from Alex Smith, who, in my opinion, is better than Andy Dalton. Not your Hall of Fame quarterback, but definitely better than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I mean, right, you will see next Sunday at Soldier Field. Arizona's coach is named Cliff Kingsbury. Do we know who he is? Well, he may be leaving for Oklahoma, as a matter of fact, the rumor is today, to become a college coach. But obviously, Kyler Murray, another young highly regarded quarterback leads that team. So I think I want to take a good look next Sunday at this team that's going to be right here in town and see what the secret sauce is, because you know, they're 9-2 and I like that.
Barber's throwing his Bears fan.
It's right there. Well, Devin, I want to bring this in because Marva brings up an interesting point with coaches coming in over the next few weeks, especially coaches that we've seen already with Tampa Bay, or what you're going to see with Green Bay and Arizona. You know, think about this. There's that new rule in the NFL where you can interview coaches 2 weeks with 2 weeks left in the season, so that it helps coaches that are going to make Super Bowl runs, who are assistants and coordinators. So if you're the Bears, you can get ahead of this thing. You can really get down the information and interview as many guys as you can and really start to get the pulse of what the league is going to become. But the problem is the insanity thing you talked about just now, right? We're going to let Ryan Pace make the decision. And I don't feel comfortable at all letting him making any more decisions, whether it comes to hiring, evaluating, and giving money to players, because this team is going to be financially crippled for years. They're not going to be able to take advantage of Justin Fields' contract. And they don't have a good repertoire with players among the league. We've seen what happens with Allen Robinson and all this nonsense that's happened. I don't know how we could even start a conversation of these new coaching candidates if Ryan Pace is still the general manager of the Chicago Bears.
Again, my shirt says fire everybody. And as we've learned in like radio, if a station's going down, they clean house and get rid of everybody and start over here. Mm-hmm. I think the Bears may do the same thing here. And as our good friend Jerry Rouse of Rewind Sports 60, again, you can check this show out on the Rewind Sports 60 Roku if you really want to see our ugly mugs. But he's talked several times that they need to give the Peyton family partial ownership of this team here. And I think that might definitely help there, you know, especially Jared Payton. You know, that guy knows football so very well. It's like, you know, Walter Payton, you know, just imagine how much you can, like, not to be this guy, you can cash in on that fan base there. It's like, we give the Payton family some partial ownership. We got some people know what the hell they're doing about football here. Just something. And it would be so nice. And back to Ryan Pace, let's take a look at his draft picks. After Kevin White, I should have been like, okay, you need to go. That was a terrible decision. And they don't get much better there. You know, Shane McClellan, like, come on, what the hell are we doing here? When we got a guy who just, you know, has he ever, other than with Justin Fields, has he ever drafted what this team really needs at the right time?
I mean, Roquan Smith is a nice pick, and we hope that he gets healthy. He's the big casualty of that Thanksgiving game. Even though you got a W, it's not bad. It's like you lost one of the pillars of the future on your defense. But you're 100% right. Like, he's reached for guys. He's traded a lot of assets for guys. And he's paid a lot of money for a lot of different people. He thought that the Bears got caught with their pants down by their legs because Andy Dalton was the only thing left in free agency, and they had to pay him a lot of more money than they should have because they thought they were in the Russell Wilson conversation. But they would have had to do that had they hit correctly in the draft. And you're 100% right. That's what it comes down to is his evaluation. And I can't let him, if I'm the Bears organization, I can't let him continuously make picks for my team for the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, my pick for the next coach, his stock just went down. There was an individual who was at Ohio State as the co-offensive coordinator and quarterback in 2017, the acting head coach, offensive coordinator and quarterback in 2018, and the head coach from 2019 to present. And, you know, and right now, can you believe that Ohio State lost to Michigan? As Jerry Ryle's listening, he's probably apoplectic, first of all. So, and he must know what to do with Fields because he did it.
It might be a good choice here because with the Bears' core coaches, how often do they go for a former college coach? Yeah. I can't think of the last time. The closest thing was Mark Trestman from the Canadian Football League. And look at is he even still in the league anymore? That worked out well.
Canada, I think he went back.
They wanted him back?
Devin, that's just it. Like, I don't want the Bears to do what the Bears normally do. I don't want them to go for gimmicks. I don't want them to pander. I want them to do their due diligence. I want them to act like a professional football team. I want them to act like they're a sleeping juggernaut. We've seen what happens when a Chicago market team is taken seriously and somebody goes and gets their hands on the reins and puts them in the right direction, like the Chicago Bulls are doing right now. They're interesting. They're making money. They're competitive. You're watching the Bears right now. It's all frustration. And it's not just on the field. It's not just the coaching. It's the entire infrastructure from the stadium down. And this is it's so Bears to want to try to find all these different ways to go around, opposed to just doing the simple math. And that's finding a competent man of a leader of men. Find your Mike Tomlin. Find what Pittsburgh does right. That's another family-owned team, right? That's a team that everybody thinks of as old-schoolness, a pillar, right, of the NFL. What do they do that they only have three head coaches in the last quadrillion years? Why are they different than you? And you got to figure that out. And, you know, I love Jerry Riles. I love the Paytons. And Jared's one of our guys. But I don't think that's the answer. We've seen it around all our sports is changing, you know, little stocks ownership from team to team. What you need is somebody who knows what they're doing in charge and let the billionaires make their money. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I think the McCaskies, maybe George is finally getting there. Maybe Virginia is finally getting there with the new stadium. But this, Barber, let me ask you this. Have the Bears ever acted like a major top-tier team? Have they ever acted that way other than the Julius Pepper signing when Lovie Smith, when they fired with a record of 10-6, by the way? Have they ever acted like a major market team?
Sure. The Super Bowl shuffle. Oh, by the way, I got it. Your guy who's with the Tampa Bay Vipers, he's the coach of the Tampa.
There you go.
Your guy Trestman in the American. I don't even know if that league's playing anymore. Are they?
Your guess is as good as mine.
But that's Vince McMahon's league. But in any event, yeah, I mean, those were the good days there. You know, they got a Super Bowl and they got to another Super Bowl later on and did not win one, but. You're right. I mean, Pittsburgh's a family-owned team with the Rooneys, and they've kept the same coach for umpteen years. So, and they haven't really had any losing years, but it looks like they may have one this year. They just got swept by Cincinnati, which never happens. In any event, the thing is that you know there isn't that much enthusiasm right now for the team, quite frankly. Usually it's the number one topic. The Bears are, you know, unlike the Cubs Sox, it's a split, and the Blackhawks, you know, and Bulls, depending upon how they're doing. But the Bears are always the top story, it seems like, when they're in season particularly. And I'm not feeling that as much right now as usual. I mean, it was like Thanksgiving was kind of apathetic, I thought. Now they have, you know, a 10-day hiatus, and now another week till the next game against Arizona, and they're playing out the string. They'll have Green Bay and Minnesota twice, Seattle, New York. I mean, they're going to maybe win another game or two, possibly, and then we're in the off season in a month. So, I mean, I think that that's an unusual year. There have been these years where they, like Devin said, where they fluked into the playoffs at 8-8 and an expanded playoff structure, which, by the way, they're keeping this year. They're keeping the number one seed being the only bye, and they're going to have three divisional games in each league, including a Monday night game, if you can believe it, in January. So hopefully they won't play that up north. But in any event, it's just one of these things. The league does go in cycles, and the Bears cycle seems to be in a spin cycle to me, you know. So this is not a playoff team right now, in my opinion. Even if, you know, like I say, Lombardi was the coach. Yeah. So you got to have the personnel. I mean, Fields will be great someday. But the one thing that I see in a Dalton and some other veteran quarterbacks is they seem to be able to make a decision when their first option isn't there more quickly than what I've seen Fields, who then runs for his life. So there is some growth for sure. And I think that he'll, you know, like I said before, Mahomes didn't play at all his first year. So I think that we'll look for 2022 will be another year, another coach, another regime, and hopefully a new general manager too, and the whole cleaning of the house. Obviously, there'll be no change in ownership, but everything else should change just to have a fresh approach, even if somebody thinks these people are competent, which is arguable.
And you brought up a good point, Marver. It's like I told you, because I fell asleep during the Thanksgiving game. This team is not exciting anymore.
Man, they don't even have they don't have their top receiver, but Mooney has been doing a good job, you know, with Robinson out. But I mean, the thing is that I watch a number of teams, and it just seems like other teams, it seems more exciting, honestly, to watch some other teams and other games. So you're right. It is sleep-inducing.
I mean, Dallas's game on Thanksgiving, that was phenomenal. It was a great game. It's like, I mean, that got me awake in the middle of the night.
Right.
Guys, you can watch the Dolphins. You can watch the Jets at certain points. You're in the NFL. And let's be fair. We kind of saw it in that Pittsburgh game on Monday night against the Bears, right, with Justin Fields in the second half. And Marver and I talked about that, where that's what we want to see. That's what you should be seeing, because it happens everywhere around the league. And it just doesn't happen here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And when the guy was given who was no business being on your team, Carolina and Denver made a bad mistake, and he falls right on your lap. Your coach, who knows he's on the hot seat, who knows at the very least ownership would like for Justin Fields to be playing, you didn't attach yourself to the hip. You didn't do everything in your job to make sure that that kid was put in the best position every single time to win. If you have 500 pages on your playbook, but he only knows 50 of them, then guess what? You have 50 plays in your playbook now. And that never happened with Matt Nagy. But with that, we want to know your thoughts of the Chicago Bears after the Thanksgiving game, moving to week 13. We're on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. And make sure you guys download the episode over on SoundCloud at WCPT 820. But I kind of want to take the last, few moments before we move on with the show of, we're thankful, right? It's the Thanksgiving season. It's the holiday season. We do know that there's going to be changes on the Bears. I want to kind of talk about what we're excited about for this team, because Marvin, you brought it up of Darnell Mooney. And obviously we're all excited to see what happens with Justin Fields when his development continues next season. But what else are you excited about this team? Is it Roquan Smith? Is it the idea of we don't know what this team is going to look like 8 months from now? Marvin, what are you excited about for the future of the Chicago Bears, not just this season, but moving forward?
I'm excited about a new stadium, possibly. I mean, Roquan Smith is a keeper. I mean, he's again, the teams don't run on them because of him. I mean, seriously, he's really a stopper. So, and then I'm anxious to see the receiving core develop further. I mean, Robinson, hopefully he'll be around along with Graham and Mooney. I mean, you got to have a good receiving core, and I think that they're developing that. And the running back, I mean, I think Montgomery is proven to be very good. And then in his absence, we saw two or three other guys that picked up the baton. So I like some of the core, but it, as a whole, it just doesn't feel like a championship team. So what is that secret sauce? I keep saying that, and I'm not smart enough to know the answer to that, but maybe you guys do.
Devin, what are you excited about when it comes to this team? And do you think that there is a secret sauce to be found now? Is it going to be a long-term thing? What are your thoughts about the Bears moving forward, not just from week 13 on in this season, but this team in general?
I mean, there's always going to be some sort of secret sauce. I feel John Fox got one of the worst reps because he had the Bears during a rebuild year. And I think especially this, I'm not saying this team needs a rebuild, but what I'm excited actually is, as much as I bitch and moan about it, there's potential here with a lot of these kids. Just we need to get these, I'm saying kids when they're like young, 2 years younger than me. We need to get these, I know, I'm at that age, guys. It's finally just, we just need to figure out the development. So I'm excited because there is a potential here. We got so many great young guys on this team. This could be a future. I'm not saying they're going to be, the Patriots, but this could definitely be a team that, at least makes the playoffs every year because, Aaron Rodgers is not going to live forever. I'm excited because there's potential here. Our offensive line is finally starting to look like a real offensive line. It's a Thanksgiving miracle. I almost said Christmas. Maybe Christmas. I don't know what year we'll get what we want here. But I'm excited for the potential here. This team does look like at some point, it looks like it's a puzzle. All the pieces are there. We just need to put it together and find that secret sauce like Marv was saying here. And I think I'm excited that we're going to get a new head coach. That's what I'm probably the most excited about. Because if you keep Matt Nagy, I'm trading my Bears fan card in. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad. Stop it. I'm glad you said that, though, about head coach. So maybe we spend just the next few minutes really fast kind of with Christmas around the corner, let's talk about building our perfect head coach. So, you know, I kind of give you guys an example. I told you I'm looking, you know, I think it's easy to say a special teams coach, but when you say special teams coach, I'm talking about somebody that found that cornerback or that safety or that receiver or that linebacker that was on special teams that he developed, that he helped practice with, and that he's kind of part of every team meeting. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a coach that's going to have his head buried when they're on offense and or defense because they're so concentrated on their playbook and all their fancy plays to show the entire world. That's what I want. Barber, in your Christmas wish list, what are you looking for a head coach?
Well, I gave you an example of somebody that's proven they can develop fields, but I think that they were on the right track to get the so-called offensive genius, and the wrong track. I don't think that the organizational skills are there for this current coach. So I'm looking for somebody that can do a better job explaining things in a way, you know, with the press and in general. We haven't had somebody that can do that very well recently. Even Fox and Smith and to that, it didn't seem to be able to really explain what they were doing to the press very well. I mean, looking at the film and studying the film is a joke, but that's what they have to do to make improvements. But if you look at the film until you're blue in the face and there aren't any improvements, then it's a failure. So, I mean, my Christmas wish is for, you know, I like the idea of a new stadium. Go through with that. That would give you a whole new feel. Plus, a new coach, be it the Ohio State coach, Rand Ayers. I mean, a college coach isn't a bad idea. I mean, some of these college coaches are probably tired of recruiting, honestly, and this would be a whole new thing. So, I mean, there have been some college coaches that are successful. I mean, Urban Meyer, it's got, you know, he likes to keep going back and forth, and there's some others that have done that, but I like that idea. I think that it would be good to get a whole fresh perspective and there should be some definite changes in personnel. I'd like to see get more the secondary and get some different linemen just to, you know, to shake things up. This current crew isn't, like I say, going to cut it.
Devin, what are you looking for this Christmas season in a new head coach, if and when that happens for the Bears?
I mean, Marver said it best. Definitely a coach who can handle the press and, you know, doesn't talk. You know, like, well, even Lovie Smith had that sort of like, you know, well, there's a lot of football left. We played a lot of games, you know. Someone just, you know, confident, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, someone who's willing to take chances here. And I do agree with you because, Mercado, it's like, I think we need something different. But this is the Chicago Bears. They're going to go for an offensive coordinator because that's what they did. That's why they got rid of Lovie Smith, because in the NFC North, we heaven forbid we have a defensive coach. Personally, I think Kellen Moore would be a nice, great guy. As much as we make fun of Dallas Cowboys in just, you know, the whole NFL, Dak Prescott, he's pretty damn good when push comes to shove here. And it's proof that, you know, they have a guy who can develop a young quarterback there. And not in the Matt Nagy sense, someone who's actually done the job here. So I'd like Kellen Moore because that's what I think the Bears are going to mostly go for, an offensive guy. But let's be real here. They're probably going to interview Jason Garrett just because bring in Dennis Green because the Bears are what we thought they were.
I think there's a chance it could be Josh McDaniels.
I don't think they can bring in Dennis Green. And I'll tell you why.
That'd be a magic trick. And yeah. I also think it'd be interesting about Byron Leftwich. I think there's names out there, guys. And I think if you're a Bears fan, you know, you're going to go through the season, and, you know, we don't say this, you know, callously with Matt Nagy. For all we know, Matt Nagy's the next Bill Belichick, and he signs somewhere, you know, he works his way back up, and he becomes an excellent head coach the second time around. But I think what the Bears need at this point to stabilize their franchise moving into a new stadium, hopefully with the franchise quarterback, a new look at the NFL, they need a person that's going to take care of all the things that a person in charge is supposed to, like knowing how many timeouts you have, knowing, you know, distance, knowing down and distance, little things like that that win games, right, that get you above 500, that get you home field advantage. But we want to know your thoughts. What are you looking for in a potential new head coach? Are the Bears going to get a new GM? What are your thoughts of this team and the lakefronts and soon to be the suburbs? Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at SportsCubicleTV. Paul Shabari, Devin Tingle, the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, and myself, Mike Mercado, here on WCPT 820 AM, where facts matter. It's a busy show.